The opinions expressed in the Spirited Sports Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Spirited Sports. Toldy Kakaletris, Nick DiCicco, Elias Drakos, and many more break down the biggest moments, game-changing plays, and the stories behind the athletes. Whether you live for the thrill of victory, the hustle of the underdog, or just love a great sports conversation, you're in the right place. This is Spirited Sports.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? And welcome back to another episode of Spirited Sports. Welcome to episode number 90 as we approach a certain triple digit number in the weeks ahead. But we are here for episode 90. Nick, Elias, Toldy, Stephen, and Todd. How's everybody doing as we get into episode number 90?
We are doing fantastic, Nick. A lot to talk about today regarding the NHL trade deadline. So I'm super excited to dive into it all.
But let's start it off. Elias, certain award winner in the house today.
Award winner? Me?
You!
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, you want to bring that up? Oh, man.
We have to, of course.
Oh, come on. You're putting... Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, yes. Last week, I won the TSN Sports Feature Production Award here at Toronto Metropolitan University. I mean, it was just... I was very humbled and honored to have won this award. And it's something that it'll allow me to continue to pursue and tell these stories that don't get told very often, ultimately. So I wanted to thank everyone at TSN, TMU, and the RTA community as a whole, and of course you guys here at Spirited Sports for allowing me a platform to be able to discuss sports week in, week out. So thank you for that.
Congratulations, Mr. Drakos.
Yes, congratulations. Congrats, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, let's get into the topics this week. The NHL trade deadline is fast approaching. It is within 24 hours. Oh, let's talk about Kiefer Sherwood.
Yep.
Kiefer Sherwood, five-year extension in San Jose.
Yeah, 28.75 million total.
I think it's a good extension for Sherwood.
Solid player too, Steve.
Yeah, Kiefer Sherwood's a great power forward. Obviously, he's known for his hard hits, tenacious forechecking, and competitive drive. He also possesses an effective shot and has a demonstrated solid hands and passing abilities. I guess we all kind of saw that versus Montreal a couple of days ago. But just a solid addition for the San Jose Sharks, and Kiefer Sherwood finding a home now. And finally getting paid, right?
Yeah.
This guy was on a league min for a long time. And great for the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, great addition.
So Sherwood could be Tom Wilson-like for the Sharks because of the way he combines his edgy game and a scoring touch.
Sharks fans got to remember, Sherwood was hurt when he was acquired from the Canucks. And obviously him coming back from injury has one goal and... one assist in five games with San Jose. But let's not forget, Sherwood led the Canucks with 17 goals through their first 48 games, right?
Right.
So he's got the ability to be a very important player for the San Jose Sharks.
You got it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, I mean, you look at the AAV, $5.75 million. I think this is a great deal for the San Jose Sharks. I mean, kind of a team that's rebuilding with a younger core.
The Vancouver Canucks. A trade here, trading veteran defenseman Tyler Myers to the Dallas Stars. I read something recently that now the Dallas Stars have a 6'7 and a 6'8 defenseman on the blue line.
Massive.
Unbelievable.
Seems like Jim Neal has a type in Dallas.
Exactly.
Yep.
Elias?
Yeah, another tall, lengthy defenseman, as you guys mentioned. And I think in the Dallas Stars case, yeah, they definitely have a type of defenseman. Tall, physical, someone who can really defend the blue line. And as for the Canucks case, I think you look at the picks and where they are right now. Second round pick in the 2027 NHL draft and a fourth round selection in the 2029 NHL draft. Do you guys think that was enough for a guy like Tyler Myers?
Quickly going back to what I said before, Tyler Myers is 6'8", and Leon Bischel is 6'7". But Nick, to answer Lice's question, go ahead.
If I think this was enough for Myers?
Yes, yeah. Do you think it was enough? The second round pick in the 2027 draft and the fourth round pick in the 2029 draft.
Keep in mind, too, Nick, quickly, he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
I believe his contract's retained a bit by Vancouver, too.
Yeah.
And now, with all of that in mind, Nick, go
ahead. He's got 1 year left, too, right? It's not a rental option. He's still got a year on.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so the Stars will get him at a cap hit of $1.5 million.
That's incredible.
Yep.
That's incredible. For a guy so physical, and you see the highlights in Vancouver, right? Just hard-hitting defenseman, stay-at-home defenseman, the kind of guy you need for a deep playoff run, right? For the Stars, this is a home run of a trade for me. 110 straight, right?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. The train just keeps rolling on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look like a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, I was going to provide my thoughts on the return for Vancouver. And I just don't know if it was enough, guys. Like, yeah, for Dallas, I think this is a great trade. And the fact that Vancouver is retaining a little bit of that contract, too, is even better, right? But I think they could have gotten a little bit more in the sense that maybe they could have gotten even a first rounder for him.
And especially because right shot defensemen are very hard to find in free agency and the trade market, which is when they become available to other teams, it's usually at a high price. And plus the retention on this deal, too. I'm shocked there wasn't a first rounder involved in this.
Yeah.
You look back to the Maple Leafs, right? When they traded for Brandon Carlo. There's a first round pick.
High end prospect and a first rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I know Myers is a little older, but still, a right shot defenseman. That I'm surprised, just considering all the trades we've seen the last 24 hours, and we'll talk about one involving the Maple Leafs, but that one was a first-round pick, which I don't think we would have thought a first-round pick was going to go with this player.
Exactly. Like Tyler Myers, he's a stay-at-home defenseman that you need that will help you win in the playoffs just protecting the net for 15 to 18 minutes, however long he plays in the game.
Also, he had a no movement clause in his contract, so he was able to direct where he landed. And like I said, I just think it's a great fit here.
Just to add on to ice time,
sure.
Averaged over 20 minutes in 57 games for the Canucks this year.
Wow.
Very important player. One thing to note here is when Myers suits up for the Stars, he will be the first player born in the state of Texas to play in a regular season game for the state's lone hockey team. Myers was born in Houston, so that's kind of cool for him and Dallas as well.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good pull right there, Steven.
Now, huge trade here. Big, big addition. Nick, why don't you break the next one down for us?
For the Flames and Mackenzie Weegar?
Exactly, yeah.
Mackenzie Weegar is going to Utah. Mackenzie Weegar is joining the Utah Mammoth. And this is a pretty big, big deal that happened yesterday and this, or last night. And that is Mackenzie Weegar joining Utah for Olli Maatta, a prospect, and 3 second-round picks in 2026.
Huge deal.
Big deal, yeah. So two of the second-round picks were previously acquired from New York and from Ottawa. So what do we think? Is this a good deal for Utah? A good addition for Utah on the back end?
So, Todd, as Nick was mentioning there, Calgary Flames officially trade Weegar to the Utah Mammoth for 5 pieces. Todd, your thoughts here. Go ahead.
Honestly, I think this is a good move for Utah. Obviously, they play in a really tough central division. Where, like, you got three Stanley Cup, you know, contenders in that division. But it looks like they're right in the wild card, you know, hunt right now. So I feel like getting a guy like Weegar, that's really going to help them defensively. They already have a lot of firepower offensively. You know, guys like Dylan Gunther, Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller obviously is on the U.S. Olympic team. So, but I feel like getting, you know, a guy like Weegar, that's really going to help them defensively and help them in this wild card push.
Elias?
Yeah, I think with the Utah Mammoth, I mean, you look at the return, right? Maatta, forward prospect Jonathan Castagna, and 3 second-round picks. I like the move for Utah overall. I think both teams have fair value. Weegar is 32, let's remember that. And Utah, obviously, you know, they're kind of just in the middle there, not doing, you know, they're doing okay this year. But I think he can really help them in the future.
So you brought up Jonathan Castagna there, Elias. So he's a prospect involved in the Weegar trade. He is a stud. So quick context here. Nico is basically saying that he's seen him play a couple times, and he's a really great player, more than a point per game at Cornell. And Nico just went on to say how he's a very promising prospect. And first of all, shout out Nico for that great insight there.
Well, I think, you know, Calgary has a lot to look forward to in a prospect like Castagna. You're mentioning over a point per game. That's significant, right? I mean, you know, it's always tough seeing how players sort of transition between leagues to get to the NHL. However, it's a good start, right? If you have over a point per game, those are some like crazy good numbers, in my opinion.
So sorry, at Cornell, 32 points in 29 games.
Yeah, so Nico's
they
right.
They were a point per game.
14
yeah.
goals, 18 assists.
So Nico's right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think the exact word he used, which I forgot to mention, was stud.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But even for Calgary, they got, prospect-wise, they got Cole Reschny, who's a great center prospect, who's on the World Junior team this past December.
Zane Parekh,
who's a puck-moving defenseman. Andre Basha, who could play the left wing and a center.
Mm-hmm.
They got some good up-and-coming prospects, and pending, you know, what pick they get in this upcoming draft, they could draft a game-breaker to complement those guys very nicely. So, bright future for Calgary as they, I guess in 2028, move into their new arena.
It's crazy to think in hindsight how things maybe pan out different from the way, you know, sometimes people expect them to pan out. What I'm trying to say here is when that trade broke a couple of years back, I thought the Calgary Flames had won that trade.
With Tkachuk.
With regards to Tkachuk yeah. going to Florida and Huberdeau and Uyghur going back to Calgary. I looked at it. I said, okay, if it was just Huberdeau for Tkachuk, I would have said, okay, Florida wins that trade. But to throw in a guy like Mackenzie Uyghur on defense, I thought that was the cherry on top. I thought that solidified that Calgary won the trade. And in hindsight, I mean, I'm going to admit that I was wrong because Florida, like, I don't know about fleeced, but Florida clearly won that trade.
The Tkachuk one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, two Stanley Cups, back-to-back
Cups. And he's been playing really well, too.
Yeah. I think that trade kind of triggered this whole movement in Florida.
Like, yeah.
The impact was immediate.
And now they're sellers. They're planning on being sellers. And did you hear a name who's swirling around?
Bobrovsky.
Big save Bob.
So how sick would that be if Montreal traded for him?
Saturday night at the Bell Center, you got Bobrovsky in that. I'll be honest with you. Or for Montreal, how about a guy like Jordan Binnington?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that I would almost prefer that. And okay, yes, Bobrovsky's got what, two cups with Florida? Okay. Binnington's got one with St. Louis and he's much younger. And we've seen like the way he's played with Canada internationally. He's been a stud in net, Elias.
I agree. I think, yeah, Binnington would be awesome for the Habs. Bobrovsky would be awesome for the Habs. Either way, great moves. I don't think we're going to see that. Here's why. I just, like, what do you, Tolly, in your opinion, what do you think Montreal has to give up? Because we know, obviously, Montembeau will be gone.
That's one.
Who are you giving up on? Like, picks?
Owen Beck and picks?
Is that enough?
It's got to be.
In my opinion, I don't think so.
But for Bobrovsky, though?
For Binnington or Bobrovsky?
Binnington, you might have to pay more, to be honest with you.
Pay more for Binnington?
I think so, because doesn't he have more term?
Maybe.
And cheaper contract? Bobrovsky's 37, one-year deal. And it's at a price tag of what? Just over $10 million?
But I say Bobrovsky pay more. No?
I don't
know. Two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup, reigning Stanley Cup champion?
I just think you'd get more out of Binnington.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, Bennington's numbers have not been at his best this year.
But he's played for a really, really struggling St. Louis Blues team with not a great defensive core. Look what he did for Team Canada in the Olympics. That game versus the USA could have ended a lot earlier if he doesn't rob Quinn Hughes in that one-time
exactly.
shot.
Exactly. Right? And I just think if the Montreal Canadiens trade for Jordan Binnington or Bobrovsky, they would be great mentors for Fowler and Dobej as well.
Absolutely.
That's very true. Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Elias?
Yeah, you give up on Beck, yes, you give up on picks. I don't think it's going to happen, if I'm being honest. The Habs have been quiet the whole deadline. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow passes, they have made a move.
I want to talk about our next trade, but I want to tie it into, because there were two trades here between these teams. I want to talk about Dickinson and Doc traded to the Oilers by the Blackhawks for Mangiapane and a pick. And I also want to talk about Connor Murphy going to the Oilers for a second round pick in return. And I believe the Blackhawks retained 50% there.
Yeah.
So let's tie those two. Let's talk about those two trades here, because in my mind, those trades, like, for the first trade to happen, the second trade must have been known that that was going to follow suit. I look at Mangiapane, and then I look at Doc and Dickinson. They've all got similar numbers. If you want to give up the first, just give it up for Murphy in that trade. The first, for me, would have looked better, even though you're giving it up anyway, if you're giving it up for Murphy.
Agreed. Especially since Murphy's contract is retained too.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. So, the Blackhawks get their first, which given the stage the Blackhawks are in is what they need.
Yep.
And Edmonton gets a guy like Connor Murphy. And when I saw the blue line for Edmonton, the depth with Connor Murphy, it's a game changer for them.
And Dickinson, I think, is a good addition for Edmonton too.
Yeah, definitely.
Third, you always need centers in a deep playoff run, right?
It's like pitchers for baseball. You can never have too many pitchers. And for hockey in the playoffs, guys go down. Depth is important for any team.
Absolutely.
Next man up mentality in the playoffs, the way it works.
Well, Nicholas Waugh traded to the Colorado Avalanche by the Maple Leafs for two draft picks. Nick, give us a breakdown here. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
It's a first and a fifth, right?
Yeah, conditional, both. But
yeah, both conditional. Yeah. The condition on the first is top 10 protected, right? Or top 12?
Steve? Top 10 protected.
And then if it is a protected pick, then it goes into next year. Or
I guess
2020.
It goes into 28 unprotected.
Unprotected, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So I think this is a great trade for Toronto. You know,
a much-needed first-round pick for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Keep in mind, they don't have their first-rounder this year, pending they don't finish in the bottom five, and they don't have their first-rounder next year as it's going to Philadelphia as part of the Scott Laughton trade. So these are two much-needed picks for the Toronto Maple Leafs to kind of, I guess, recoup some assets that they've dealt last year.
Obviously, the price would have been maybe higher, but getting a guy like maybe Vincent Trocheck or even Ryan O'Reilly, like, I feel like they could have gotten a better upgrade at the center.
Pavel Zacha, too.
Yeah, Pavel Zacha. Even Nazem Kadri, right? He was on that team when they won in 2022.
I personally like the first-round pick, though. I think it's great that they got a first-round pick for Nick Waugh. And it's unfortunate, right? That whole, you know, experience in Toronto didn't really work out for him. But the fact that the Leafs got a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, okay, whatever. But the first-round pick, it's not bad. The Leafs, I mean, listen, what's the biggest thing they needed heading into this trade deadline? They needed picks, like, badly. I'm really happy that they got a first-round pick. I think they really needed it, yes.
For Elliot Friedman here, too, officially Colton Parayko has declined to waive his no-trade clause to Buffalo, as is his contractual right. We will see where he goes from here. First of all, Nick, why do you think he declined it?
This is strange. This is strange, considering how Buffalo's done really, really well this year.
Stacked blue line, too.
Yeah, a great, great team this year that has done some really good things. You know, they're second in the Atlantic, and they're going to be in a fight for that second or third Atlantic spot with either Montreal or Boston or
Detroit.
Or Detroit, yeah. So they're in a fight in the Atlantic. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised by this.
So the Sabres are clearly looking for a big right shot D. And obviously Parayko was their ideal guy, but as Pareko's right, declines to not waive his no movement clause. So if I'm Brad Treliving in the Toronto Maple Leafs organization, I'm swooping in and I'm saying, give me your best offer for Brandon Carlo. They're that desperate and willing to overpay. Because Colton Parayko's a great defenseman, but Jarmo Kekäläinen and the Sabres were willing to trade Radim Mertka and a first-round pick to St. Louis. And Radim Mertka was drafted high in the first round last year.
Yep.
Right? So if I'm Treliving, I'm calling Buffalo right away and say, give me your best offer.
So, Todd, it's second and goal time. Todd, he's in the red zone here, Todd. He's out of timeouts. Don't call one. Todd, what's going on here at the NFL? Huge, huge storylines.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of crazy things that have gone on in the NFL recently. We saw yesterday there was breaking news. The Kansas City Chiefs traded their all-pro and cornerback Trent McDuffie to the Los Angeles Rams. I think it's been reported that they've traded him for this year's first-round pick. The Rams giving up the 29th overall pick and trading that to Kansas City. And I believe also there's a few mid-round picks as well that are involved in not this year's draft. I think one in this year's draft, the fifth round, and also in the 2027 draft next year. But I love this trade for the Rams personally. I don't know about you guys, what you think, but I think personally the Rams were really like good cornerback play away from going to the Super Bowl. We saw what happened in the NFC Championship game against the Seahawks, where Cooper Kupp, Jackson Smith and Jigba really had their way with them. And adding a guy like Trent McDuffie, I feel like that's huge, as the Rams are going to try to, looks like, make one more Super Bowl push with Matthew Stafford next season. I think this is just a great move for the Rams again. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that were probably trying to get McDuffie's, you know, the Chiefs, obviously. It looks like they didn't want to pay him to a high contract. Similar thing happened a couple years ago with L'Jarius Sneed, who had a great year in Kansas City, and they won a Super Bowl, and then they traded him to the Titans, and it looks like the Chiefs really trust in their, you know, draft and developing plan. But we'll see. They're going to have to really reload their defense now, because McDuffie was, if not their best player on defense, I think he was, definitely their best young player on defense. They don't have a lot of young players there. So, but I like the move for the Rams.
Here's my analysis. It makes the Rams better. Who knows what's going to happen now for the Seahawks, right? There were talks about Rashid Shaheed not coming back. There's talks about Kenneth Walker not coming back. Like, huge guys, right, for the Seahawks team. An all-pro cornerback like Trent McDuffie will definitely help them, I think. No doubt it'll help them. But it includes the 29th overall pick of this year's draft, as you mentioned. Chiefs would reportedly also receive the Rams' 5th and 6th round selections in this year's draft, as well as a 3rd round pick in 2027.
Todd, what's the latest out of New England?
Yeah, so yesterday we saw the Patriots have decided to release wide receiver Stephon Diggs. After only one season with the Patriots, Diggs had a pretty good season in New England last year, at over 1,000 yards, and was Drake May's number one wide receiver. And obviously, the Patriots got to the Super Bowl this past season. Very surprising, great year for them. But you kind of ask yourself, why would they release Diggs? Well, his contract, his cap hit, I believe, moves from being $10 million, it was this past season, to just over $26 million for next season. So that's a big jump, especially for a wide receiver who... Diggs is a good receiver, but obviously he is up there in age. But now they're going to have to really go into the free agency and the trade market and try to get a number one wide receiver for Drake May. What if it's a guy like A.J. Brown? We'll have to see. But I think they're going to have to make an upgrade there at wide receiver now for sure. The Chicago Bears have traded D.J. Moore, wide receiver, to the Buffalo Bills. In exchange, the Bears are going to receive a 2026 second round pick. The Bills receive a 5th round pick, along with, obviously, DJ Moore. While the trade cannot be made official until the start of the league year, March 11th, I think this is a win-win trade, personally. I think you look at from the Bears' side, DJ Moore is a solid receiver, but they do have other guys there like Romo Dunze, Luther Burden. Obviously, Colson Loveland looks like one of the best tight ends in the league after one season. So I really like this move for the Bears, and they already have a lot of young guys. So, you know, DJ Moore's contract and all that stuff, they move off of that. And then the Bills, they really need wide receiver help. Getting a guy like DJ Moore, I'm not sure if I'd say he's a top two receiver, but he's definitely a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. And now he gets to play with Josh Allen. I can definitely see him having a great year in Buffalo. But what do you guys think?
Who's the wide receiver one now? Is it him or Shakir?
I think it's DJ Moore for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Elias?
Yeah, I agree. I think wide receiver one should be DJ Moore. Great year with the Bears. And I think this kind of fills a little bit of a hole for Buffalo. And I also believe that, you know, like you were saying, Todd, him and Josh Allen playing together is going to be a dynamic duo. I think they're going to have a lot of success on this next year. Of course, Moore is coming off making 50 catches for 682 yards and 6 TDs last season, as the Bears made the playoffs in Ben Johnson's first year as a head coach.
All right, final thoughts on one other trade. The Detroit Lions sending running back David Montgomery to the Texans for a 5th-round pick. Steven, your thoughts on that trade?
Smart of the Detroit Lions to part ways with Montgomery, since they already have Jahmyr Gibbs as their running back number one. But let's recap the trade a little bit. The Lions agreed to trade the backup running back to Houston in exchange for a 4th-round pick in 2026, a future 7th-round selection, and an offensive lineman, Juice Scruggs.
Yeah, I like the move for the, honestly, both sides. You know, the Lions, it's, for Lions fans, it's tough, right? It's the end of the Sonic and Knuckles era, where Sonic was Jahmyr Gibbs and his explosiveness, and then Knuckles obviously being Montgomery's, his power running ability there. But I think, you know, the Texans really needed running back help, like you said, Steven, and now they have Montgomery with Woody Marks, who had a solid rookie year last year. So now you have that combo there. In Detroit, you add draft capital, and now I think everyone knows who the number one overall pick's going to be in fantasy football drafts next year. It's going to be Jahmyr Gibbs.
That does it here for another great episode of Spirited Sports. This was Spirited Sports episode 90. As Nick said, approaching a 3-digit number here. Just wanted to thank Spirited Sports Universe for the continued support. And to Nick, Todd, Elias, and Steven, great job here today on another fantastic episode. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Take care, everyone.